Frank Muir goes into despair and investigates the humor of the subject with the help of Alfred Marx.
A chemist's assistant went to the pharmacist at the back of the shop and said, "There's a Scotsman at the counter who's asking for 50 pence worth of poison to kill himself. Now, how can I save him?" The pharmacist said, "Tell me it'll cost a pound."
Alfred, what on earth's the matter with you? You look absolutely terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you remember I told you that a fortnight ago my aunt died and left me £50,000?
Yeah, I remember. Well, what's the problem?
What's the problem? You remember I told you that last week my distant cousin died and left me £150,000?
Yeah. I still don't see what's worrying you.
You don't see what's worrying me? This week, nothing. A commercial traveller was in his hotel room and there was a Gideon Bible there. He opened it and the front page he read this inscription: "If you are sick, read Psalm 18. If you are in despair about your family, read Psalm 45. If you are lonely, read Psalm 92. Well, he was feeling lonely, so he opened the Psalm 92 and read it. When he got to the end, he noticed at the bottom of the page, written by hand, the words, "If you are still lonely, ring 715-0394 and ask for Mandy." "Doctor, doctor, you've got to help me. Every night I dream I'm marooned on a desert island with dozens of women, a dozen blonde, a dozen brunettes, and a dozen redheads, and each one is lovelier than all the others."
"Well, you sound as if you're one of the luckiest men alive. What on earth do you need help for?"
"My problem is that in the dream, I'm a girl as well." Scotsman took his girlfriend out on a boating lake, and after about 10 minutes, it started to rain heavily. They were soon both soaked to the skin. "Oh, this is terrible," said the girl. "Aye," the Scotsman said, as he continued to row. "I'd be glad when our hour's up."
Most people succumb to despair at some point, and the trouble is, in such moments, despair seems awfully logical. Little poem by Henry Luttrell.
"Oh, death, thy certainty is such, and thou art a thing so fearful, that musing I have wondered much, how men were ever cheerful."
All of us have felt the swoops of mood, from competence to despair. George Ade.
"Last night at 12 I felt immense, but now I feel like 30 cents.
Mind you, there are comforts for all of us. A line from Earl Wilson.
"If you think nobody cares if you're alive, try missing a couple of car payments."
But there are a lot of things in life which can drive one to despair, particularly members of one's family.
Hello. Hello. Oh. Hello there. I'm fine, thank you, and how are you? Fine, fine, thank you very much. Is your mother there? I'm fine, thank you. Fine, fine. Is your mommy home? I'm fine, sweetheart. Fine, fine. Listen, honey. Listen. Where is your mommy? Oh, well, tell her when she's through. I'd like to talk to her, please. You don't have to tell me what, dear. That's all right, sweetheart. I'm fine. Listen, what are you, a little boy or a little girl? Oh, well, why don't you ask your mommy? She'll tell you. I'm fine. Listen, sweetheart, go call mommy to the telephone, honey. Oh, and listen, honey, listen, don't put the telephone on the hook now, baby. Put it on the table, sweetheart, because if you put it on the hook, you... Hello there. I'm fine, thank you. Bye. Listen, you hung up on me, you little. Now, see, they say... See, I told you to put the telephone on the table, and you put it on the hook. Now, honey, you see what happened. See, I... Oh, God damn it. Hello. Now listen, kid. Now don't put the telephone down, you understand me? You hold the telephone in your hand, you hear what I'm saying to you? In your fat little claw, you hold the phone. Now I'm warning you now, if you put that telephone down, lightning will strike you, and you'll die. I'm God. I'm fine, thank you, fine. Now stand still and scream, Mommy. What are you crying for? I didn't scare you. I can't help it if I'm God. Call your mommy. Hello, Mommy. Marge. It's me, Sid. I'm fine, thank you. I'm not screaming. Seems to me your household has a morbid interest in my health. Your kid acts like the beneficiary of my insurance policy. Then do me a favor. Tell my nephew he's a boy, will you? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. I asked him before. He knew what the hell I was talking about. What do you mean he's a baby? Now is when he should know. Now, during his formative years. Don't wait till he grows up and makes an arbitrary decision.
Shelley Berman. There was a theory that a bit of woe helps the creative process. In the words of William Blake,
I sometimes try to be miserable that I may do more work.
And Woody Allen has expressed a similar view.
At least my neurosis is creative. It could have been right at block.
Trouble is that certain sorts of creative person are perfectionists. You must be very difficult not to have moments of despair if you're a perfectionist. Here's an anecdote by Thomas Fuller, written in 1642.
Zeuxis, the curious picturer, painted a boy holding a dish full of grapes in his hand, done so lively that the birds, being deceived, flew to peck the grapes. But Zeuxis, in an ingenious collar, was angry with his own workmanship. Had I, said he, made the boy as lively as the grapes, the birds would have been afraid to touch them.
And then, of course, the creative artist can suffer when he doesn't get the success and recognition which he feels is his due.
I say that I'm too old, I guess I'm coming up for nine. Me curly hair is getting thin, it's all them women and wine. But I'm oh so ashamed, it's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pop. It hurts me when I think as how at 8 I was top of the pole. They screamed every time I just opened me mouth and rocked in the aisles with me roll. Now I'm oh so ashamed, they all say me discs are flops, 'cause I haven't got a record in a top 20 pops. I've tried to ask and I've giggled, I've rocked it and I've skippled, I've sung an old song and not no one could make out a word. It's the truth. I've clapped me hands till the blood run, I've had echo till me head spun, till me head spun. But they say you're too old, too long in the tooth, give us you. I've had me breakdown in the papers, dyed me hair a luminous green. I wobble me hips in sexy like capers, and me sideboards me under me chin. But I'm oh so ashamed, it's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pops. I've held high notes real classy till me eyes went all glassy. I've sung a duet with myself, nearly ruptured me throat. I've tried humming and not drumming, I've broke 10 guitars with me strumming, but it always turns out some Charlie has done it before. What's the matter with me platters? They say I should try a new kick, but me nerves is hanging in tatters. I've done me nut till I'm clear off me whip, and I'm oh so ashamed. It's been 3 weeks since I had a record in the top 20 pops. Me discs are slipping. I haven't got a record in the top 20 pops. Please, Boris, my lord. Please.
Peter Sellers. There are any number of things that can prompt despair, and in this country, we've always got the weather to fall back on. Here's an extract from a letter written in 1840 by Captain Marryat.
I have just returned from Norfolk, where I was wet through every day, and to escape cold, filled myself with tobacco smoke and gin. These antagonistical properties have had the effect of deranging me all over, lie miserably out of tune, and feel terribly ill-natured. I feel as if I could wring off the neck of a cock robin who is staring at my window.
The trouble is that sort of mood leaves one feeling so isolated. Here's a little poem by Hazel Townsend, cheerfully entitled Dirge.
Just at the blackest bit of my depression, somebody somewhere tunes a clarinet, scrapes up a chair to start a Scrabble session, elopes or gets a raise or wins a bet. I find it perfectly infuriating that when I'm in the depths of my despair, somebody somewhere starts off celebrating. It makes one wonder if they really care.
It's the strange of things that cause people to get depressed.
Sir, you are depressed. Would it be getting too personal to ask you why?
I'm not pretty.
You are depressed because you feel you're not attractive.
I'm not attractive.
You're not good looking.
No, I'm not.
Well, what would you say,
that's
sir?
Why I'm mainly depressed.
Well, may I say something to you, sir?
Yes.
You are a very attractive person. You're as attractive as 9 out of 15 people I know.
You're very kind.
But you are. You're not an unattractive person.
You're very sweet, but I know that's the truth, and I face it every
morning.
You're
a good-looking man, sir.
I'm not a man. I'm a woman.
Oh.
Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks. If you fall into despair often enough, you can be reckoned to be a pessimist. Here's how Ambrose Bierce defined pessimism.
A philosophy forced down upon the convictions of the observer by the disheartening prevalence of the optimist with his scarecrow hope and his unsightly smile.
Another definition from Red Smith.
A pessimist is an optimist on his way home from the racetrack.
And here's an anonymous one.
An optimist is a man who sees a great light where there is none. A pessimist is a man who comes along and blows out the light.
Well, perhaps the thing that makes people despair most is to have their hopes raised and then dashed.
Here are the football results. League Division 1. Aston Villa 2, West Ham 1. Burton 4, West Bromwich Albion 2. Burnley 2, Leeds 2. Leicester City 3, Arsenal 4. Luton Town 1, Birmingham 1. Manchester United 2, Blackpool 2. Newcastle 4. 4, Everton 1, Portsmouth 2, Nottingham Forest 2, Preston 1, Manchester City 2, Tottenham 3, Blackpool 3, Wolves 2, Chelsea 1, Division 2, Bristol City 1, Chelsea 3, Cardiff 2, Rotherham 4, Charlton 2, Brighton 1, Fulham 1, Swansea, 1. Huddersfield, 4. Barnsley, 3. Leighton Orient, 1. Derby, 4. Lincoln, 5. Stoke City, 2. Liverpool, 1. Sunderland, 2.
Michael Bendy. Some people's circumstances or physical appearance seem a kind of justification for a degree of despair. Here's an anonymous poem entitled Auntie.
Auntie always was morose, and her views on life were bitter, for she was so adipose, no ordinary seat would fit her. Now I should think that you'd feel glum if you'd been born with Auntie's sitter.
And if it's not what you look like, there are always reasons for despair in the world around us. I mean, you only have to think of the awful things that are happening to our environment.
If you visit American City, you will find it very pretty. Just two things of which you must beware. Don't drink the water and don't breathe the air. Pollution, pollution, they got smog and sewage and mud. Turn on your tap and get hot and cold running crud. See the Halle octopus and the sturgeons are being wiped out by detergents. Fish gotta swim and birds gotta fly, but they don't last long if they try. Pollution, pollution, you can use the latest toothpaste and then rinse your mouth with industrial waste. Just go out for a breath of air, and you'll be ready for Medicare. The city streets are really quite a thrill. If the hoods don't get you, the monoxide will. Pollution, pollution, wear a gas mask and a veil. Then you can breathe, long as you don't inhale. Things there that you can drink, but stay away from the kitchen sink, the breakfast garbage that you throw into the bay. They drink at lunch in San Jose. So go to the city, see the crazy people there, like lambs to the slaughter. They're drinking the water and breathing the air.
Lira. One's always told that one should counter the beginnings of feelings of despair by having a positive attitude to life. Here's a famous anonymous poet.
Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a grin replied, he'd never be one to say it couldn't be done, leastways not till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin. By golly, he went right to it. He tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he couldn't do it.
Positive thinking doesn't always work. Let's now hear another anonymous verse, this one perhaps a bit more realistic.
Toiling, rejoicing, sorrowing, so I my life conduct. Each morning sees some job begun, each evening sees it chucked.
Yes, for much of human life, hope and despair seem to alternate.
All the agony, all the ecstasy.
What's the matter? What is it?
All the agony. All the ecstasy.
Why are you screaming? What's the agony?
Last night, my daughter eloped without even a word to me.
And what's the ecstasy?
He's a nice young doctor.
From the LP, you don't have to be Jewish. Some people just seem to wallow a bit in despair. There's a kind of narcissism attached to it sometimes. Here's a thought from Bertrand Russell.
Men who are happy, like men who sleep badly, are always proud of the fact.
And a little poem by Galway Kinnell that perhaps makes the same point.
In a parlor containing a table and three chairs, three men confided their inmost thoughts to one another. I, said the first, am miserable. I am miserable, the second said. I think that for me, the correct word is miserable, asserted the third. Well, they said at last, it's 1:15. Good night. Cheer up. Sleep well. You too.
Yes, one can be enormously cheerful about despair.
They're out of sorts in Sunderland and terribly cross in Kent. They're dull in Hull and the Isle of Man is seething with discontent. They're nervous in Northumberland and Devon is down the drain. They're filled with wrath on the Firth of Forth and Solomon's souls with flame. In Dublin they're depressed lads, maybe because they're Celts. For Drake is going west, lads, and so is everyone else. Hooray, 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 misery's on the way. There are bad times just around the corner. There are dark clouds hurtling through the sky. And it's no good whining about the silver lining, for we know from experience that they won't roll by. With the scowl and the frown, we'll keep our fetters down and prepare for depression and doom and dread. We're going to unpack our troubles from our old kit bag and wait until we drop down dead. There are bad times just around the corner. The horizon's gloomy as can be. There are blackbirds over the greyish cliffs of Dover, and the rats are preparing to leave the BBC. We're an unhappy breed, and very bored indeed when reminded of something that Nelson said. And while the press and the politicians nag, 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 we'll wait until we drop down dead. From Colwyn Bay to Kettering, they're sobbing themselves to sleep. The shrieks and wails in the Yorkshire dales have even depressed the sheep. In rather vulgar lettering, a very disgruntled group have posted bills on the Cotswold Hills to prove that we're in the soup. While begging Kipling's pardon, there's one thing we know for sure. If England is a garden, we ought to have more manure. Hooray, 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 suffering and dismay. There are bad times just around the corner, and the outlook's absolutely vile. There are home fires smoking from Windermere to Woking, and we're not going to tighten our belts and smile, smile, smile at the sound of the shot. We just as soon as not to take a hot water bottle and go to bed. We're going to untense our muscles till they sag, 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 and wait until we drop down dead. There are bad times just around the corner. We can all look forward to despair. It's as clear as crystal from Brinklington to Bristol that we can't save democracy and we don't much care. If the reds and the pinks believe that England stinks and that world revolution is bound to spread, we'd better all learn the lyrics of the old red flag and wait until we drop down dead. A likely story, land of hope and glory, wait until we drop down dead.
Noel Coward.
Well, of course.
The ultimate expression of despair is no doubt suicide, but is not to be recommended for many reasons. For a start, things may get better. Here's a helpful thought from Theodore Heger.
I once counseled the men in despair to do what I myself did in similar circumstances, to live for short terms. Come, I said to myself at that time, at any rate you can bear it for a quarter of an hour.
There are also logistical problems about suicide. A famous poem by Dorothy Parker.
Razors pain you, rivers are damp, acids stain you, and drugs cause cramp. Guns aren't lawful, nooses give. Gas smells awful. You might as well live.
And here's a cheering thought from Henri Frédéric Amiel.
People who are in despair always make a mistake when they hang themselves. The next day often brings the unknown.
And even if you get to the point of deciding to do away with yourself and you're standing out on a ledge, ready to jump, you may be lucky enough to encounter a helpful police officer.
Well, you're down a hell of a count for a weekday. Yeah, really. The last couple of years, jumping has really fallen off. I didn't mean it that way. No, really, seriously, you take 1929, for example, you literally couldn't get out on this ledge in 1929. No, we had people lined up in the corridors just waiting to get out on the ledge. Finally, we finally went to that numbered card system they use in the butcher shops. You probably seen. Well, you see the cart down there? Yeah, the hot dog stand? That's Sam, the hot dog man. Hi, Sam, how are you? How's the what? I just tell him, hell of a crowd for a Thursday, isn't it? Listen, have you eaten, by the way? Don't be so. Two, Sam. You want everything on? Two with everything, Sam. No, to go, Sam, to go. Uh-oh, something turned you in. Yeah, you see the guys with the net down there? Yeah, they're firemen. Yeah. I'll give you a little tip there. You might kind of edge your way toward the corner of the building, you see. Then they'll start to follow you, then you run back here and jump. Well, they get all confused and they start pulling different directions, and they'll never make it back in time, believe me. Don't be silly, I'm glad to do it for you. Well, listen, gee, I really ought to be getting to work, you know. I love to stay around and catch it. But, no, don't be silly. Take your own sweet time about it. Yeah, that is a long way down, isn't it? You You're kind of chickening out now, huh? That happens quite a bit. You have a certain responsibility to those people down there, though. I saw them in there a half an hour or so, you know. No, it's up to you. I mean, if you don't want to, you know, you don't have to. Well, all right, sure. Well, listen, I'll get in and then you follow me, all right? Okay. Oh, one... Now, where the hell did he go?
Bob Newhart. And despair is now at an end, or jolly nearly. We'll just conclude with an encouraging thought from Anne Lambert.
One of four people in this country is mentally unbalanced. Now think of your three closest friends. If they seem okay, then you're the one.
Until the next time, in desperation from Alfred and me, goodbye.
Yes, goodbye.
Muir Goes Into Despair was presented by Frank Muir. It was compiled and produced by Richard Edis.